You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, January 23rd, 2017. You're listening to episode... What episode number is it? Is it
243.
243. My name's Rob. That was Jason. Who knew the number that I didn't? We're back for another episode of this. Today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is your one-stop shop for... No, it's not.
It's not.
But we're not doing sponsors.
Actually, today we're brought to you by Audible.com. Those are the like. Are those the only places that sponsor podcasts?
I think they're the two biggest ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every podcast I listen to.
Lisa, the mattress that ships to you in a box the size of a mini fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. You open that box, and over the period of about an hour, the mattress will unfold itself once you open that box, and then you've got a comfy new mattress. You can sleep on that mattress for up to 100 nights for free, and if you don't like it, just give them a call. They'll come take it away for you.
You think they can put it back in the little box?
I would be shocked. I want to see that. Like I would want to get one of those mattresses and then let it fully unfurl and just give it like a solid week, right? And then see if I could squish it back together.
Right.
I bet that I couldn't.
I'm sure they use a machine for that or something.
They must.
But the other thing is, so we've got this amazing shrinking technology and we're using it to ship mattresses to people. Mm-hmm. Imagine the other things you could ship that would be small.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose a mattress.
Yeah, I know. Shrink rays. Who knew? They're real.
Right.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Mattress.
Uh-huh. Right. And this is, well, you know, commercial enterprise. You know.
I always wanted to design a game about...
Shrinking mattresses?
Somebody who was...
Shrinking mattresses?
Somebody who'd been hit by a shrinking ray, right?
Uh-huh. And then they shrunk the mattress?
Yeah. Well,
were they laying on a mattress when they got shrunk by the shrink ray?
I'm just saying. I liked the idea, like, when I was a kid of, like, that... kind of idea, right? Uh-huh. Of somebody who is, you know, a few inches off the table and uh-huh. like that perspective of the world, right? I always thought it would be a cool video game
uh-huh.
where you're trying to get around, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there are some games out there like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of like little racing games that are like toy car racing games.
Yeah. Oh, things, yeah. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like Micro Machines racing games and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just general. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different ones. I think there was something called, Action Hank or something it's like an endless runner stunt game and Action Hank is an action figure and he's running around in this world.
Okay.
And yeah. Yeah, I think that's a thing. I don't know. Hi,
awesome.
Jason.
That's exciting.
What's new with you? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Not a lot is new.
Okay.
Yeah, just doing
stuff. Just doing stuff.
Stuff that I do. I'm working on Unpub stuff, trying to get moving on that.
That's good. How's that going?
I have three games.
Ooh, three games.
One of which is Mustachioed. Mm-hmm. I plan on taking that and trying to get some players in. I made some changes to it. Right now I'm testing it as a co-op game because I thought that was kind of a neat idea to have. I got some feedback from some playtesters, and they said, this feels like if I'm trying, because, you know, the whole point of the game is you're giving clues to each other.
Yeah.
And they had said, why am I giving clues to my opponent? Why am I trying to make my opponent win? And I mean, to me, because it's a fun party game, and to non-gamers, same thing. But to some other gamers, hey, why am I giving clues to my opponent?
Yeah.
So they said, why? What if this was a co-op game?
Did we talk about this in the show before? I know you talked to me about it. I don't recall if we talked about it on the show.
I don't think we did. I'm pretty sure I got that information since the last time that we recorded. Right. So. Well, last time we were, I'm pretty sure that was 2 weeks ago. No, it was like a week ago when I got this information.
Okay.
So I think I could be wrong. Who knows?
I don't know. Dude, it all runs together.
So, yeah. Okay. And then I've got the game I'm going to pitch tonight, which is my better themed space convicts game. It's like an advent calendar game.
Yeah.
And then my skeleton key game.
Skeleton key. Oh, you're back to that one. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I made a proto of it. I just never finished the proto.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested to see if it plays with two players or not. Because I feel like it could, but I also feel like you'd have to parse the cards down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yep.
So I want to find that out. And I feel like that game has a lot of, I feel like that's a deduction game that has a lot of
deduction.
It's got a lot going for it. I think it's got some legs, right? I think it could be something that's cool. Yeah, so those are the three I'm going to play around with the next couple months. I will probably bring all three. I think I can only put two in the book, so I'll probably pick the strongest two. But then I'll also be testing the other one, because we might as well.
Okay.
Cool note about Unpub coming up.
Cool note.
Jason Katarski is going with us. Hey. So that's exciting.
Right. Oh, I see.
Flying with us and everything.
Yeah. My wife gave me the approval to buy that plane ticket, so I'm going to do that tonight when I get home.
Should do that.
I need to. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
If you want to drive to Detroit, you can get tickets way cheaper, according to Pinchback.
Yeah. We're going out of Grand Rapids. Was that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because we can fly Southwest, and that's good.
Yeah. Direct flight.
Yeah. Right on.
So what's up with you?
I just got back from the World of Concrete show in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thrilling!
Yeah, I'm so tired right now.
Yeah?
I'm so tired, man. Vegas, right?
Right.
Yeah, have you been to Vegas?
No.
No,
okay. I'd like to go there. So my wife and I would love to go check it out. And you can get, like, super cheap flights. Like, you can do a weekend out there real cheap.
My dad and I flew out there, and it was, like, $300 for the two of us round trip.
Nice.
Yeah, we flew on Spirit, which is, when they say budget airline, they mean it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody gets one free personal item, which is something the size of a purse. If you want a more traditional carry-on bag, it's $58. And if you want to check luggage, just don't check luggage.
That's another cool thing about Southwest.
Yeah, right.
Bags are free. And their rates are cheap, too.
Yeah, you know, Southwest is great, yeah. But, like, this place is so... Spirit is so cheap, okay? The seats...
Spirit is so cheap, they... Sorry.
The seats don't recline.
Oh!
That's how cheap it is.
I'm gonna say that's good. Can I tell you why that's good?
Sure, tell us why that's good.
So, like, I'm a bigger dude, right? And I can't sit with my, like, I can't sit with my knees just straight. I like to sit kind of like this, you know, where my
you got a man spread.
Yeah, this is how I like to sit, right?
You got the man spread.
And I'm not comfortable on a plane sitting any other way.
Uh-huh.
On Delta, my leg always hits the stupid recline button that's on the inside of the freaking handle.
Uh-huh.
The people are always like, you know, when they're walking, sir, put your seat up. I'm like, I'm trying, yo. Like, I'm sitting up. Like, this is uncomfortable. And as soon as they walk past, I just lean back because it's back, like, just enough for them to complain about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, ticks me off. Not a problem on Southwest.
Sure.
Southwest, yo!
So at least their seats recline.
So, but how was your conference there with your learning about concrete?
Yeah, it was super fun. You know what? So, like, 36 hours in Las Vegas is the right amount of time in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, we flew in. I think we got there about 9 o'clock at night, met my brother and my cousin there at the casino at the hotel, and just drank for about 4 hours and then went to sleep and then got up the next
morning. Your brother was there, you said, too?
Yeah, my dad, my brother, and my cousin. Yeah.
Nice.
So it was like kind of the Couch Boys day.
Take Manhattan or Vegas as it is.
Yeah, kind of 36 hours with the Couch Boys in Vegas. And got up the next morning and walked around the Las Vegas Convention Center looking at exhibitors that are selling products related to concrete and the industry.
And your dad's not in concrete?
My dad is in business opportunities.
See?
Yeah.
Your dad cracks me up, man.
He's a gentleman who's always looking for an opportunity. So,
in this case, concrete.
So I won't waste builder's time with his full story. That's completely unrelated to gaming.
Yes.
Right.
It occurred to me that the things I know about your dad, concrete is not one of them. So.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we had a good time. I will spare you all the details. I've talked about gaming in Las Vegas on previous episodes. I think last time I went to Las Vegas, I talked about it on the show afterwards and about how it's not really a game. It's an activity on the slot machines.
And, right.
When you play poker, blackjack, or something, it becomes a game because you're making decisions, and that's fun, but it's also a lot more expensive. So, but it's expensive, period, because it's Vegas.
Right.
Right. Anyway, we had a good time.
You can fly there cheap. Everything else is not super cheap. Right.
It's cheap to get there and cheap to sleep there. Hotels are generally pretty cheap, but everything else will be really expensive.
Food's not too bad, right? The buffets
Food is bad. People lie. When they say, oh, cheap buffets, they are liars.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you go to crappy little nowhere casinos way off the strip outskirts of town, maybe the food's cheap, but it's probably also bad food. But I mean, don't get me wrong, food, everything I ate there was really good, but
just
also
not cheap.
Really expensive. Yeah.
Right.
Like that first night we were there, I bought a round for everybody. We were all just drinking Budweiser's and Coronas, right? And it was $35 for four beers.
Ouch.
Yeah, right. So too much.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it'll. I mean, it'd be a bar around here that might have been $8. You know, if they were on special, call it $12.
Yeah,
you know,
worst case 15. Yeah,
yeah. So,
all right.
yeah. That's what's happening with me.
Cool.
I'm still tired. Got in. I've been home now for about 24 hours.
Yeah, I was actually surprised you even were at work today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just because I thought you got in pretty, because you tweeted at me at one point and said, I'm in Vegas waiting for the bus. And I thought, dude, you have to be to work in less than 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Waiting for the shuttle bus, which never showed up, by the way. We waited for 45 minutes for the shuttle bus to stow. 45 minutes past the time they were supposed to show up and pick us up. And they didn't show up. And so we got.
So you're waiting for the buses, but the buses won't come.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Paid for the ticket and. I mean, we paid in advance for the ticket, and then they never came to get us. So
there's something wrong, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Anyway, what topic are we going to discuss today?
So we are going to do a topic because a builder asked us to, and that builder is Bo Severson, and we like him.
Uh-huh.
And,
he's all right.
Ouch. Well, I like him. Gee, jerk face. So he said, you did this a long time ago, but it would be cool if you would revisit this question now. How do you scale your designs for player counts?
I don't.
Making a really cool 4-player game idea work for 3 players or 5 or 2 people. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good question.
It is, yeah.
So how do you want to start here? I've got just a few responses. Responses were a little thin today from people.
Okay.
But I would love to let me just go through.
Yeah, okay. Do it.
Joby Jones Games says, personally, I feel like there are enough games out there that it's okay that a game can't fit all player counts. Awesome. So I guess we can move on. Okay. I'm gonna pitch a game now. thank you, Joby. Ben Pinchback informs us that Ludology probably did a better job talking about it, and maybe we should just shut up.
He's probably right, honestly. I mean,
no, let's
be clear.
Hey, you can find out about this if you wanted.
Uh-huh.
And then VC Young responded with some stuff. He said, well, adding extra monsters to a game helps. If you're playing a goal-based game, adding extra step to said goal. He also says, so the goal is to get 4 cans of gas to escape the rombies. Either he meant zombies or he's actually making fun of you.
Could be.
Because you don't like zombies.
Could go either way.
+1 player needs +1 gas. Or let's say the goal stays the same, the enemy just spawns more. So he's talking about in a game where you're trying to defeat the bad guys to get somewhere. And I think he's spot on with that, you know, adding more bad guys. They do that a lot in video games, right?
Yeah.
1 player, there's so many bad guys. And 2 player, there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Hey.
Right. Or, you know, also video games, they scale the number of hit points that an opponent has, or scale the amount of damage that opponent does, or those sorts of things, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So those are some that's so that's all we got for that. So do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
Well, so yeah, so player count. So, you know, whenever I'm starting a new design, I try and decide as early as possible what I want the player count to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And am I making a 2-player game? Am I making a 2-4 player game? Am I making a 2-6 player game, or am I making a 3-6 player game? And those are important decisions, I think, to make very early on in a game's development.
Do you have a default mode you work in, do you decide?
My default mode is 2-4.
Okay.
Because I think I've said innumerable times on the show that it's important to me that if I'm making a game that I can play test it with one other person. My wife and I, most of the games I play are 2-player games are 2-player with my wife. I like 2-player experiences, right?
Right.
And I hesitate to make a game or to really pursue a design if it doesn't play with 2-player. So, yeah. That said, 8 arms to hold you that I'm working on right now will not work with 2. You know, that's right. That's, I mean, just
sometimes
a
it's just not okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now, so question for you, when you say you normally would do 2-4, mm-hmm. when you have to bump to 3, do you attempt to get to 5 then?
So the way I work that is, so if I'm doing 2-4, in my experience, if I'm doing 2-4, I often use those numbers while I'm planning. And so if the question comes up of taking it to 5 or taking it to 6, I often find it to be a challenge to take that next step. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I start with a 2-6 player concept in mind, I often find it difficult to keep it at 2. And so what I'm thinking about with that is that if I'm thinking about a six player game, something that can play six, I'm thinking about how long does it take a turn? How many decisions are there in a turn? Mm-hmm. You know, how long are people waiting between each every time it's their turn to take an action, you know? And I want to make sure that there's not too much downtime between each player. And so when I'm thinking about stuff that's going to be fun for six people to do in order frequently, it's stuff that, mechanically ends up, in my experience, depending a lot on what the other players are doing on their turns, and to hopefully mm-hmm. try and keep everybody engaged as they're going.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so it's not just, you know, a six player solo game. You know, I don't want that. Right. What ends up happening there is that oftentimes in my experience, if I try and put that at just a player count of just two people, it means that there's not enough going on. You know,
right.
There's not enough going on with the game, with the components, with whatever the game is, for it to be engaging for two people. It's just too automatic. There's not enough variability in that.
Right.
And I'm making obviously a broad generalization.
Right. But you're making a generalization for yourself
based on how I've approached that. Yeah. Right. So. So one of the challenges, I guess, for me is to overcome that. Right. You know. Like Saloon Tycoon, for example, you could play that with six people. You could play that with five people if you want. Right. Sure. But I think the game would take too long.
At six people, you'd want to be playing it with friends, not strangers.
Yeah.
Because that's a game that very much lends itself to having just conversations while other people are going.
Yeah.
Since, you know, you're just kind of looking for the high points of what the person is doing. Did they take what I'm going for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really it, right? I mean, that's the only thing that...
And what do they have that I might want to steal if I have the ability to, yeah.
But you can, I mean, on your turn, it's usually really easy to assess. Just, mm-hmm. okay,
yeah. Yeah, and so, but that's a situation where it could work with five or six. It could, and it wouldn't be broken in any way whatsoever, but I don't think it would be as fun.
In Salute Tanku, it is 2-4, correct?
It is 2-4, okay. Right.
Yeah. And it's... It is an amazing two-player experience. I enjoy it with 3-4 as well, but I like it best with two
because
I just like that back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, who would I steal from? The guy across the table.
Right. It's a more direct adversarial competition.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a
direct competition instead of group competition.
Yeah. Feels like Deadwood, right? You got the two saloons across the street.
Kind of,
you know,
yeah.
You're working back and forth to try and take over the town,
so
basically.
I really like it two-player. I prefer to play it two-player. But at any rate, yeah.
Okay.
So those are my first thoughts on the subject.
Okay.
But go ahead, share.
So to follow the same train you did, I start every game I start to design, I am planning for 2-5. I used to do 2-4. I've seen a lot of fifth player stuff. Like, people always joke, use 2-5 players. Kickstarter loves that, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it's the reason I switched to 2-5 is actually my own frustration in playing games. Like, how many times have we had a game night and there's five people?
That's true.
And you love this game, but you can't freaking play it because it's 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2-6 is different. I love 2-6. I struggle designing for 2-6 because mm-hmm. a lot of my games require extra cards for extra people.
Mm-hmm.
A great example is Unreal Estate, right? I designed that as 2-4 because I wanted to pitch to a publisher a compact game.
Yeah,
right.
Sorry,
Mark, I gotcha. And I hoped that when I pitched that to a publisher, that they would hopefully want on Kickstarter to make it a 5-player game. I mean, that was my hope.
Yeah.
You know, and I was pretty upfront with that about Mark, so it's not like I'm lying. But that was cool, right? And mm-hmm. I was afraid pitching that little game with numbers on cards, because mm-hmm. at that point, that's all it was. It didn't have fancy artwork on it.
Yeah.
That might not be a good sell to a publisher.
Yeah.
But that's a game where it's a different experience with more players, but because everything goes fast, unless you get a real buzzkill, somebody who's like really agonizing over their moves.
Mm-hmm.
But that usually doesn't happen very often simply because there's only so many cards on the table, right? And unless they're first, it's really hard to agonize about your choices because your choices are dwindling,
mm-hmm.
you know, first and second, maybe after that, in that chain of five, your choices got a lot easier.
Yeah.
So my base is, how do I design a game for 2-5 people? Right.
Mm-hmm.
The issue I consistently run into lately is I've been very into games with some deduction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been doing a lot of that.
Or games where it's helpful if all of the cards or most of the cards can come out during the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The game I'm going to pitch tonight, it's something I want to talk through as I'm struggling with, is in a two-player game, there are 90 cards. I need most of them to get out during the game, but in a two-player game, they're just not going to.
Yeah.
And is that going to be a problem? I don't know. So anyways, those are the big challenges I run into with player counts. You know, it's so easy to say adding more cards, right? Because we usually work in card games, mm-hmm. both of us. So adding more cards makes it playable for more players, right?
Yeah.
What I like about, you know, the Unreal Estate thing was it's a fifth player expansion. So you've got those extra cards to use. And literally with that, it's take these cards and put them in. Mm-hmm. Not five players. Don't put those cards in, right? And it's very easy. It's one card that you add. I mean, there's multiple copies of it, but it's the one card, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's what I struggle with the most is the game gets too big. And what frustrates me is I don't feel like I actually design component heavy games, right? I try to keep them pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've found too is when you're talking to publishers and you're working kind of in that small card game zone, right? They want as little components as possible with it. Mm-hmm. So if you say, well, I need these three components per player, I want it to be a five player game. Well, suddenly now it's 15 extra components in the game that if there's a way you can avoid, that's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no big advantage to a publisher of going from just cards to cards plus 15 tokens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because on a non-mass production scale, meaning like a non-game right scale or whatever, it's not, you can't charge enough more to make up for the difference in the loss of the production value, right?
Sure. Okay.
So that's something I struggle with. How I solve for that, gosh, playtesting is, is one good, you know, and luckily, you and I play test more together than anybody. And we've gotten bad about that, but we're trying to get back in the swing of things with that. And forcing it to do two player tests. Like I can take a game and say, I know this works with four players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play it with two and see if it sucks. Right. Mm-hmm. Skeleton Key is a great one that you may have heard me talk about on the show before. It was called Perception. And then you actually suggested calling it Skeleton Key.
Oh, that was pretty sure. That was a good idea.
It was. Because instead of the Zenner cards, it's now keys to open doors. So,
Okay.
I think so you're just going to call it Skeleton Key. And I was like, I think I might.
Yeah. Okay.
And so for that one of the issues I ran into was because it's a deduction game, right? I've played it with four. I loved it with four. I immediately saw some tweaks it needs, but, you know, trying to test that with two is good. So I think that's an advantage if you are trying to make a 2-5 player game, getting that playtesting in early with the two players and then with the larger group to see what's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say is if I have to do a 3+, I will always find a way to make it 3-5 because when I see 3-4 on a box.
Yeah, that's rough.
I mean, that it's like, do you have 3 or 4 people? No, play something else. Like, and that's just, I don't like that.
I agree with, if I see, I don't ever want to make a game that is 3-4.
Right.
Or I mean, 4 players only or something. You know, I don't want to.
Those games are cool, but like, to be fair, like, well, if like from people like us, publishers aren't necessarily jumping all over a 4-player game only.
Four player, right? Yeah,
if
exactly.
we're like somebody famous, like Ben Pinchback, right? Then I'm sure they're all over it.
All over it, just drooling, slavering.
But you know what I mean, right? I mean, it's just it's just very limiting too.
Like
I hate when I see a cool game and then I look and it says 3-4, and I'm like, no,
all right,
not gonna happen. At least if it says 3-5, I'm like, oh well, I could, you know, five people. That's cool. Like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for me, if I see that, it's like, well, I can only play this if I'm at a party or if I'm having friends over.
A small group of friends, right? Because if you have two sets of friends over, too bad, don't play this game.
If I'm inviting another couple over for an evening, we can play this game, and I will never, ever play this in any other time. But also, I probably won't play this game because there are other games that I might play that I already anyway.
Well, those are the games people are used to playing, right? Because you're playing the 2-5, 2-6 player.
I'm probably going to play the same game that I played with that couple last time.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Player count. And so much of that also depends on the structure of the game, you know, and how well it scales. There's so many different approaches to that in different game styles that adapt to those things in different ways.
I think. One thing that can work with a higher player count game, you know, with working in more, is the idea that if every player has their own cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. You have all your own things.
Yeah.
that's what you use in your, you know, in, so every player gets that. And if they don't have that, then, you know, but again, that's harder for small games. I think for a bigger game, Evolution is a good example, right?
Yeah.
They have the specific player setup for each player. Mm-hmm. If there's less players, don't use that setup. Yeah. And then the economy is scaled based on the number of players. Mm-hmm. But that can also be a pain in setup. And that's something else I hate, like in setup, take out these 20 cards. And, you know, so I try and avoid that as well.
Yeah, that can be complicated. Yeah. Again, with Saloon Tycoon, you just count out a different number of supply cubes to control the game in, right?
And that's, but that's easy.
I felt like that was easy enough.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like
one thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're sorting. You're literally just in this game, give this many. You know, I mean, there are a lot of games that say in this game, give 10 of these to a player. In a 4-player game, give 5 of them.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's not weird at all.
Yeah. So
my big fear is sorting out cards, mm-hmm. and you can put good markings on them to make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's too much, you know, mm-hmm. it can be a pain.
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah. Any final thoughts or should we move on?
I guess I don't have really any other big things other than, so just as a reminder, you want to play test early. You mm-hmm. want to start with a goal in mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Say, I'm designing a game for this range.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will help. Also, and be not afraid to change that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you're going to have to change it, right? I mean, the hardest pill for me to swallow is to go from a 2 to 5 to a 3 to 5. That's,
yeah, that's rough.
That's,
yeah.
But it's because you and I are both so into 2-player games. Right. Other people are like, whatever, it's 3 to 5. Who cares? I always play with my group of friends.
Yeah, and I've been actually going through those experiences with 8 Arms to Hold You and As Autumn Leaves. 8 Arms, I was originally thinking of it as 2 to 6, but after playtesting and, you know, getting a lot of feedback and thinking through a lot of that structure, and, you know, and I could make it 6 players, but I'd have to add some cards. And but it also kind of doesn't work with 2 as it is. So I think that's a game that's gone from 2 to 6 to 3 to 5.
Right.
And I'm not uncomfortable with that. I would like it to be 6, but I'm okay with 3 to 5.
Right.
But I need it to be 3 to 5. I can't have it be 3 to 4. That's
right.
Not okay.
Right.
And I also don't want to add any more cards to the game. So I'm now working within those constraints, forcing myself to be within those constraints to make sure that it still works,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and Autumn Leaves, I still think that's 2 to 6, but it might be 2 to 5. I'm not sure yet.
I know you were concerned with card count in that.
Yeah,
there was a lot of cards.
I'm more open to adding some more. In fact, I did add some more cards to that.
Did you?
Since you and I played that. Because I think I was going to need to anyway, even for 4-player.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm more open to that. I'm not sure that I want to add so many to make it work for 6.
Cool.
But anyway, yeah. So.
All right.
That is enough of that, I suppose. Now it's time for you to pitch a game that we've been waiting with bated breath to hear about for weeks.
Oh, I'm sure you have. I am so sure you have. Okay, here we go. So, a while back I pitched a game about advent calendars, and we both agreed that it had some interesting facets to it, but that an advent calendar game was not marketable. And so I started thinking about what could I pitch a game about, you know, what could I do to save this? The really big thing was having the 2 cards in 1 thing, right?
Yep.
That really made it interesting. And so I started thinking about...
Yeah, so just to make sure builders remember, in that original pitch, every card had 2 days
on it. Yeah, so 2 toys.
Or 2 toys on it, right. Yeah, for 2 different days. Right, okay.
And then you were trying to make these sets, and that felt interesting because instead of just a card with something on it, you now had to worry about these card with 2 things on it, right?
Yeah, right.
And they could work against each other possibly. So,
yeah.
So what I came up with is I was thinking through one day, and something that clicked for me was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie. And there's the iconic lineup scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh, what about a police lineup of intergalactic scoundrels, right? That would be fun. So I went back and forth. You and I went back and forth on names quite a bit. And what I came up with, well, I think you actually came up with it, was the Unearthly Suspects. And I'll be honest, I'm not super sold on that name.
It's not great.
I wanted to do the Unusual Suspects, but that's already been taken. the Intergalactic Suspects. I mean, something. So, Builders, if you have any ideas for that, love to hear them. Mm-hmm. So, this is 2 to 5 players. Hey, shocker. I'm hoping it's 20 to 30 minutes, ages 8 plus. And the idea is you are a galactic bounty hunter, and you're looking to nab a list of criminals to bring back to your home world and collect their bounties. You can steal, you can trade, you can do all sorts of fun stuff. So, the way the game works, it's 52 suspect cards, and those are there's eight species of aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those has just general, like, human, right? And then each race or species, I guess it is, has one unique person in there, right? Like, Rob Couch is the human, right?
That's me.
Peter Quill, you know, I don't know.
I'm a human. I'm the human. Let's be honest.
So you deal each player a stack of 12 suspect cards. Oh, so then you've got 20 bounty cards as well. So 72 cards total.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that I up this to 90 now that I think about it. But anyways, doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Each player is going to get 12 suspect cards in front of them. So they're going to end up with 24 suspects, right? With the exception of the cards that have a general on them, right, have two people, one on each side of the lineup. The unique people are alone on their card. So they are just one person on their card, right?
Okay.
All right. So in the game, on the first turn, each player is going to reveal a card, the top card of their deck, lay it out. That's the first card they've collected, right?
Okay.
Now, the second step of what they're going to do is the first round, that's the whole round, right? Starting with the second round, players will flip over the next card. Now they have two cards in front of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to start having the ability to trade. In fact, they're going to be forced to trade. Everyone is going to be forced to put a card out in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then players going in order from the first player that turn, the first round marker, they have to pick someone else's card that's been put out, not their own. After that, people can pick whatever cards they want. So you could steal your own if you're not first player. But the idea is that first player is being forced to mix the pot, right? And they just take it, they put it right back in the slot that they have open, right? You following me so far?
Yep.
Great. All right. So you also have these bounty cards I spoke of. So at the beginning of the game, you're going to get two bounty cards, right? And they have five characters on them. And the goal is to get that lineup. Now, you don't have to get it in order. If you do, you're going to get extra points.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two ways to score with your lineup. When you get the lineup, you know, of the people, maybe you should have to have it in order. Would that be better if you had to have it in order? Because the whole point is to make the lineup. I don't know. I kind of have to see how it works with the cards. Yeah. I don't want it to be impossible, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So I think you just have to have the people, right? You have to have all the people.
Maybe you can get a bonus if you can line them up.
Yeah, right? I think that would be great. And that could be like a 5-point bonus. So most of the cards are worth 15 points if you claim them during the game, right?
Okay.
So it means at any point during the game, I can flip it over and be like, boom, I have these people, score. Set it off to the side, that's 15 points. Alternatively, at the end of the game, if you score, they're all worth 25 points.
Oh.
Right? But here's the catch. When I reveal one, I can take a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, at the beginning, the earlier you can do it, the more likely you want to take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once you've claimed that one, I don't have to keep those guys anymore. So I can trade off those guys for different guys, right? Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've completed my bounty. Does that make sense logistically?
Yep.
So you score during the game and at the end of the game. And then at the end of the game, the other scoring is you score based on which aliens you have in general, right? Each alien has a different scoring mechanism, somewhat like Sushi Go. Is that, are you familiar with Sushi Go?
I have not played it, but I know the idea.
Cool. So the idea is like every piece of sushi scores differently, right?
Yeah.
Like some of them, you just get a point for having it. Others, you have to have a set to get mm-hmm, points, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I did with this as well. Stupid thing. All right. So I'm pulling up my spreadsheet now. That was my notes. So the way that works right now is the eight races, you've got the different ways they can score. I'm just going to, can I, do you care if I just go through
no,
them
yeah,
all?
Go so, for okay. it. Yeah.
So the Zerplats are all worth 1 point each. It's that simple, worth 1 point each. The Herkaloo are not worth any point. Oh, no, I just haven't figured out what they're worth yet. Never mind. They're going to have a special ability. The next guys on the list are worth minus 1 point each.
Ooh.
But the if you have their hero, oh, that's why I got this wrong. I'm sorry. If you have the hero of the Zerplatz, mm-hmm. all Zerplatz are worth 1 point each. If you don't, they're worth negative one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Zerplatz.
Yeah. The next race, they are worth 15 points if you have seven of them. The next one is worth 15 points if you have one of them, but everyone after that is minus two.
Mm.
So that's the one where everybody's trying to get one, but nobody really wants to have more than one. Mm. This is where the dual cards really come into play, right?
Yeah,
where
right.
you're trading. The next one is 5 points for three. There's one that's one each. There's one that's 10 points for five. There's one that's 3 points for two. And there's one that are just worth 0 points. They're nothing special. They're just filler, mm. right? But you might need them for your bounty cards, right? And right. then the bounty cards are broken up so that every... most bounty cards have someone worth zero. And quite a few bounty cards have the guys that are worth negative one to try and force you to have mm. to get those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make those be in demand.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to do is I want all of the hero guys or the main scoundrels to have a special ability. And right now I've only got ones. I've got two special abilities. One is the Zerplatz guy. He makes all the Zerplatz worth one. The other one is he's worth 20 points. What is the counter to that? This is good. Oh, okay. He's the main guys were 20 points. All the other ones are worth zero. So that's the guys that are worth zero. Their lead villain guy or whatever mm-hmm. hero is worth 20 points.
Okay.
I still need to figure out powers for the other ones because I really don't know.
Sure.
And I honestly intend to start playing without it.
Yeah, I think it's
and
fine.
Just trying to figure out like what would I like to do to break the rules here.
Yeah.
But they all of the famous people are required as part of a bounty card, right?
Okay.
So like, you know, eight of the bounty cards have the heroes on or the famous people on them. Mm-hmm. I know I keep changing the word I'm using. I'm sorry.
It's all right. We get it.
So yeah, so that's the simple part of the game, right?
Yeah. Simple part.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't feel like it was simple?
No, it's fine. I was when you say the simple part, it like you're leading into a really complicated.
No. Okay. So that's the game, right?
Yeah.
The idea is that the interactivity is going to come through the forced trading.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to have trading where I can ask you for a card, but I also feel like the whole point is that you can't, right? The lineup just gets put out there. I show up and I throw guys out there and say, this is what I got. You came to the intergalactic police station, right? And I'm throwing my guys in there in the ring so that mm-hmm. I can pick two when I do that, right? I put a card out there so I can take a card. Give you suspects so I can get suspects. So I kind of like that you can't talk about the negotiations. I mean, you could talk to each other, but I guess I could say, Rob, how about you give me this? How about you put this card out? I want that card. But you have no obligation to do that, right? So yeah. That's why at the beginning, everyone just puts one out. So from there, here's some issues that I'm worried about.
Okay.
The bounty cards. Based on the number of cards in the game, you could get totally hosed on the bounty cards.
Yes.
For a two-player game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In a four-player game, I mean, in a five-player game, every card comes out. Well, or maybe all but like two cards come out. So most cards come out, right? So there's no real risk involved. I do think if you need to, you should be able to discard a card in the game. Like if you're like, I'm not going to get this one, I'm going to pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to think of, do you have any ideas as to what I could do to try and mix it up a little bit?
Is there some other way to score points during the game without doing a bounty card?
Not that I can think of. What if, mm-hmm. so what if in a two-player game or even a three-player game, a random card is flipped over face up so that now we have more options, right? So you and I, in a two-player game, we're not trading cards, right? There's two decks off to the side, right,
mm-hmm.
of 12 cards. Flip it over, boom, face up. Now we have that choice of card, right? If we don't, you know, once those cards are traded, they're just tossed off to the side. They're discarded, right? So they're out. But that would give a little more options, but not too many options then, right? Is my thought.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I thought was you could just get rid of a race. But see, this is what I don't like, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could just say that there's always... six character cards out there. And if there's only two players, then you pull four out from the top of the deck. But if there's five players, you only flip over one from the top of the deck.
That's not bad. You know? That's not bad at all. So
simplifies that. So after everybody puts out one card, you just fill the rest of the spaces from the top of the deck.
And then the rule becomes you may never take your own card.
Yeah, right. You cannot take your own
card. You have to take another card.
And any cards that are not picked up this round stay there.
Do you think it would make sense to not have the hero guards be part of the bounties? That way, because that's the only risk, right? Statistically speaking, you're going to get the other cards to come out,
yeah,
like the other races and stuff. The only one that's really going to be a problem are the hero cards. Should I just take those out of the bounties altogether? Would that make sense?
That could be.
Because, hey, you don't put those in the bounties, just give them a special ability.
Yeah.
And that's why you want them.
Right. Yeah, that could work. And, yeah,
What if those cards were bounty hunter cards instead?
Oh, so there's an idea.
So when those come up, or at the beginning of the game, I mean, everyone could theoretically just get one, right? Mm-hmm. And that's who you are, and that helps. So everybody knows who you are and mm-hmm. what your goal is.
That could potentially affect your scoring too. Where if you're of the same race. Maybe you're not going to score points for anybody who has the same right. is the same race as you,
or like maybe the race where you get negative points for having them.
Yeah,
maybe you do score for those, right? Because that'd be bad because everyone else wants them then. So yeah, I get what mm-hmm. you're saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe that's a way to explore it. Is that because that helps guide you, but then also people don't know what your secret bounties are that you're going for.
Yeah.
So you could not be getting points for your race, but getting, I really like that.
Yeah.
But then you're getting 15 points if you could get five of them for your bounties, right? So
right,
that's kind
right.
of funny, actually.
Yeah.
So that would make you want to score those bounties early so that you can offload those people.
Right. So it's another way. It changes some of what you're thinking, but.
But not, I feel like in a good way, actually.
Yeah, okay.
It solves the main, I love the idea of the game. The big problem is if you don't get all the cards out, you'd run into a problem. So
yeah, right.
I think I'm going to just work under that assumption and go with that.
Yeah, cool. Good.
So cool.
Excellent. Anything else we should talk about? Do we have any emails or voicemails or anything?
We've got voicemails. We're kind of short on time here. All so right. we all need right. to make some time for those in the next episode.
I think we can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Len. There's a couple from you, and we need to make time for them. Yeah. Actually, there's like a dozen from you. We will make time for two of them.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. You know how the rest of this goes. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerlin, and I am @poorly_designed. Like us in places and give us reviews on podcast applications. Go to our website, buildingthegamepodcast.com, and come back next week, and we'll do more of the stuff that we do every week, and we never stop. And, well, we stop when the episode's over, I guess. Do you have any final thoughts to take us home?
I do have a final thought to take us home, and I'll save it for the next episode.
Thanks for nothing, then.
No problem.
Okay.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
We've been waiting with bated breath to hear about for weeks.
Oh, I'm sure you have. I am so sure you have.
I have.
Yeah.
Bated breath.
I am pulling it up here.
My breath has been baited.
In other words, it stinks.
The worst.